Luke chapter 1. We've been in this sermon series just simply called Just Saying Truth. And we're going to look at the last word today, just saying wow. Say that word, wow.
Wow.
How often do you use that word, wow? Occasionally, now and then. Our world, by the way, it's kind of built off of wows. I mean, if you've ever gone outside of the Metroplex where there's not as much light pollution and you can see the stars and the galaxy, you just kind of step back and go, wow, you know? Maybe you graduated high school and you just went, wow. Or you asked somebody to marry you and they said yes and you went, wow. Or you experienced your first child and you were in there as that child was being born and you passed out. No, I mean, you went, wow. Or, you know, you could end up saying wow this year if the Cowboys don't get anybody arrested and they go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
We would all say wow. There's a lot of things in life that we say wow at. Certainly, wow is an expression of awe and wonder. And actually, every language known to man has a word associated with wow. Now, actually, you find that most people don't say wow. They say, oh my God. The reason they do that is they've experienced something that is far beyond themselves. And without even recognizing it, they're giving acknowledgement to something that is significantly greater than they are and can do what they or what is humanly impossible for them to do. It's an expression of wow. As followers of Jesus, the moment you said yes to him, you looked forward to and look forward to a wow moment, and that's called the resurrection. The day that the body that may now, maybe for some of you not yet, but it creaks and it's got aches and pains, and you look forward to the day that it is raised to new life that won't have those kind of challenges any longer, and we look forward to that. In between that moment you say yes to Jesus and that day of the resurrection, your life is intended to be a story. And the story is that one that may not have a lot of wows that come through it, but that have significant spiritual wows that come through it. I think that when we get to heaven and we're kind of all just, hanging out at whatever times we're not hanging out. I mean, we'll be doing things, but let's say we're sitting around the heavenly Starbucks. And for you coffee drinkers, how many of you know there's going to be a heavenly Starbucks? Amen. Right. And we're sitting around and we're just visiting. I really believe a big part of the conversation that we're going to have are the wow moments that happened in our life. I even believe as much that they're going to be somewhat wow badges. And the Bible talks about a crown. But it's built off of these moments, these times that we've allowed at God and said yes to God to the place where God comes through and the world can only say, oh my God. Is the world looking at your life and going, oh my God, that can't be you? I would say for the majority of the followers of Jesus, the answer to that is no. And the reason isn't so much that we don't want to, it's oftentimes that we don't know how, or what does that look like, or how does that begin to play out? And that's what we're going to talk about together this morning, and we're going to actually go to a pretty big wow story in the scriptures. Chapter 1 of Luke, in verse 28, you have this beginning account of the angel approaching Mary. And in verse 28, it says this, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, let me stop right there just for a moment. Here's what you don't want to do. Don't divorce yourself because you've received some form of teaching that makes you think that Mary was better than you. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say yes to him, you are favored. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're favored. And here's the second truth, and I want you to say it to him. The Lord is with you. It's easy for us to read these accounts in Scripture and divorce ourselves because we think we are less than they are. And the reality is that when Jesus comes in, when God looks at you and me, he sees Jesus. So he sees perfection. Verse 29, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail. For the word of God will never fail. For the word of God will never fail. I want you to say that with me. For the word of God will never fail. Say it one more time. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. This is not a Christmas sermon. This is a template on how you move through to a wow, and I'm talking a spiritual wow kind of moment. It's within these scriptures that we hear of vision and of promise. We hear of the future. And I want you to come back with me just for a moment to verse 32. He begins to paint this picture for this lady who didn't see this coming. She didn't have any idea that she was going to have this moment, but all of a sudden this picture of this child that she's going to have begins to be painted to her. He says, he will be very great. Now, we can look back and see what very great looked like, and we can somewhat look forward and envision what very great would look like, but we don't know what that looked like to her. She had the template of her day. She had the Roman institution to look at. She had the Israeli Jewish system to look through. Then he says, and will be called Son of the Most High. And will be called Son of the Most High. And we know that her own children that were born after him didn't believe in him till after the resurrection. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. She had to immediately think, I don't have to worry about my retirement plan anymore. Things are taken care of. And he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't jump too quickly at the answer, but is Jesus currently reigning over Israel? We really could say yes and no. But in the fulfillment of this, the answer is no. And so in her lifetime, she does not see the fulfillment of the promise that was given to her. So what has the Lord promised you? What has God placed in your life, in your heart, in your spirit that you want to see fulfilled so you can say, wow, and the world can go, oh my God. Now you may be here this morning and go, well, man, you don't understand. I'm just trying to get my mouth fed. I mean, I try to get my bills paid every week and I try not to get kicked out of my apartment and, you know, you don't get it. Tell you something. You're going to find out here in a moment that when you just start to focus in on Jesus, and you start moving in close to him, something's going to happen. And you're not going to, you may struggle week to week. Don't get me wrong. But that struggle of week to week is going to be a whole lot less than what Jesus deposits inside of you. Or maybe you have a promise or a vision that God has given you years ago. And you've kind of just set it on the shelf and you went, well, that's just never going to happen. And the faith that you once had in the potential of the God of the universe to come through for you and that vision, it died. For Mary, she responded in that last verse, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Boy, I think that's a cool verse. That's a cool verse. Could you just, listen, if the Lord has put something in your heart and you do nothing else this week, just say, Lord, I'm your servant. May everything that you said and that you put into my heart come true. I'm telling you, get to the end of the week, the way you approach life will dramatically change. Yeah. We're going to look at this cycle of what we're going to call the wow cycle. Actually, Jack Hayford calls it the Mary model. And it really has to do with how God works within his kingdom. If you want to see fulfillment to a vision or a promise, there really is a cycle that takes place because it's the way the kingdom works. And so oftentimes people just don't know how the kingdom works. So let me illustrate it this way. Up on the screen, does anybody know what that is? Anybody? That actually is a sign you'll find in Germany. And you know what it means? This is so cool. It means you can drive as fast as you want. Because once you get through Munich, you see that sign? Boy, it's pedal to the metal. Which I know some Texans have no clue that there's the bottom of their pedal. Because they're like doing 45 out on 30. And there probably are Americans all the time that go to Germany and rent a car and don't know what that sign means. And so they never get to fully open up and experience what it means to drive as fast as you want without any IFR. Now, IFR, by the way, is just instant foot reaction. Because in America, we know what that is. You see a cop. Right? It's so ingrained in me that we were traveling in Montana before they had instituted the speed limit throughout the state. And man, I was just flying. I was going from Missoula to Helena, and I saw this light, and I went, oh, I didn't have to, and it was just a sign that was reflecting the sun. But it's so ingrained in us. But here's the thing: people would go to Germany and never get to enjoy the blessings of the Autobahn, which is a series of highways that when you're away from the city, you can go as fast as your nice little car will let you go. The same thing's true in the kingdom. The greatest challenge to our belief is that we really don't know what we're supposed to believe. And I just want to walk through a couple things with you this morning, these seven cycles that really will help you understand how you go from receiving the promise, receiving the vision, and then experiencing the wow. It starts, number one, with conception. That's where it begins. Conception will only come through intimacy. Now, let me say that again. I left a lot of space on your notes because I want to give you a lot of things you can just jot down here. The conception of a vision, the birthing, the very, very beginning of a promise only comes through intimacy with Jesus. You've got to be close to him. You've got to go after him. In guy terms, you got to pursue. You got to look for. Now, in this case, because it was pre the cross, God came, because God always first will come to man. Now, I'm talking within God's kingdom now. So these are for followers of Jesus. He's already come to you. But then you begin this lifelong from the moment you say yes to the moment you die of pursuing and going after and knowing Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you get into his presence. In fact, you just heard it mentioned, August 11th, Saturate. This is what this is all about. You really don't want to miss this. I'm not going to go into great detail, but because it's about putting each of us in the presence of the Almighty God so something can happen inside. Now, here's the thing. You get in the presence of God, you may not even know something has happened. But God, in his grace, deposits something in you, and it begins to grow. It's the starting place. It's that conception. Now, many of you know what I'm talking about. God gave you a promise. You didn't just open the Bible and pointed. You felt God say, this is yours. I'm going to fulfill this in your lifetime. I'm going to show you what this looks like through you. And it was conceived. That's only the first one. Now, as Americans, once it's conceived, it's like, it's out there on Facebook. Everybody should just like it and it's done. But it doesn't work that way. Because from conception, so somewhere along the line, Holy Spirit overshadows Mary and she conceives miraculously the promise for all of humanity. But then is number two, and it's just very simply growth and obscurity. And this is the crazy thing because while intimacy leads to conception, I think the Lord keeps us like he did in Mary. Mary didn't, no one walked around going, there's the person. She's the woman. Watch her. That's where it's coming. No, actually, Bible says it was quite the opposite. And Joseph is like, I got to discreetly. And the Lord said, no, I'm doing something here. But in our hearts where we live in such a sensationalized world, we think it should go from conception to immediately the wow. It doesn't work that way. Because what God does is when he gives you that vision or he gives you that promise, there's part of you that says, that's going, I long forward to this, and God is saying, yep, and I want you to have it, but you got to grow a little bit first. So I'm going to teach you a little long suffering here. I'm going to teach you some patience. Now get this. This is where most Americans abort what God has conceived in their life. They do not wait for the full growth that God wants to come. And so whether it's a ministry, whether it's a promise about family, we give up and we move on because we think that God has forgotten, the God who never forgets, the God whose promises are no and maybe. No, yes and amen. And so he allows us to have this level of obscurity, and we don't understand it. We struggle with it. But the whole time, something's growing. Third thing that happens is there's difficulty. And in this difficulty, it's that third one, is now you move into a form of spiritual warfare. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God say to Eve? In pain, you were bare children. I've never experienced that in the natural, and all men can say, praise God. Right? But Paul talks about being in labor pains in the book of Galatians. Because in order for life to come, there's going to be a difficult laboring process. Well, I tell you, this is the rich gospel that everybody likes to hear in America. It's going to be hard. And when it begins to be hard, you need to have people around you who can coach you through a spiritual warfare process. Who, when your mind is saying, God has left me, I give up, this business won't work. Now you need to begin to be saying, no, that's the devil speaking. And I come back and receive what Jesus Christ has already said. And you move through it. That difficult period is where we ultimately recognize, and this is a basic kingdom principle. You can think about any promise God ever. Life always comes through pain. There's no other way. Now, you may have gotten an epidural. You may have gotten a C-section with all sorts of things. And so in the natural, you didn't experience the labor, some kind of thing, whatever. But the reality is that the biblical principle, if you want to understand the sign on the biblical road, life comes through pain. Say that with me. Life comes through pain. When you're going through a difficult time, don't think the Lord has abandoned you. It's just a biblical reality that what God has placed on your heart for it to come to fruition, there has to be pain involved. But then, fortunately, it doesn't last long because number four comes. Number four is just a humble yet joyful beginning. God rarely, if ever, takes someone, births something through them, and immediately the world is stepping back and going, oh my God. No. It begins small. God could have taken Jesus and put greatness immediately into the palace. The promise was the palace, by the way. The promise is the throne forever and ever and ever and ever. And he could have done that from the beginning, but he chose not to do it. If you and I would have done it, we would have put him immediately in the palace. But God doesn't work that way. And he doesn't work that way in your life, in my life. He says, no, I'm gonna start out small. Maybe you've been praying for one of your children or grandchildren, whatever it is, and you see this little glimmer of hope, and that's what you want to focus in on. And hey, that's great. But it's certainly not the end product. But it certainly can be the humble beginning. Number five is that once it comes, there's responsibility that goes with it. We cannot give to another the things that were birthed through us. What God wants to do through you, what God wants to do through me, was not intended for a nanny. Right? Because there are people that have nannies raise their kids. It's not God's intent. What God gives us, he intends for us to nurture, to raise up, to grow up. He still does his part, but with a lot, what comes along with privilege is responsibility. So I don't know what the Lord has given you. I don't know what the Lord has birthed through you in that humble, joyous beginning, but he expects you, turn to your neighbor, you can say you, he expects you to take responsibility for it, to care for it. What does that mean? It means a lot of different things. It means that if it's a ministry, it's praying for it. It's listening to the Lord's voice and being obedient to the next step that he has for you. If it's a matter of your children or grandchildren, it's a matter of saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because here's the beautiful thing. Do you think that Jesus looked a little bit like Mary? Bet you he did. And what God bursts through you is going to look like you, and it's going to look like him. I never had to look at any of my kids and go, say I'm talking to my youngest son, Josh, buddy, you better start looking like me or you're on restriction for 2 weeks. No, because there, whenever something is birthed through you, it will begin to, at some level, look like you. But because God has deposited it in you, because God has conceived it in you, it will also look like God. So you're not going to sit there and say it's all God, because everybody else is going to look at you and go, well, it doesn't look all like God. There, it looks like you. It looks like your kind of passion. It looks like your kind of gifting. It looks like your kind of experiences. God moves through that. It looks like you, and it looks like him. Why? Because you've taken responsibility to nurture it and help it grow. Number six is, it was difficult for Mary. It's difficult for you. It's difficult for me as well, is the death of a vision. Death of a vision comes is just simply because there's strife. There's this, we live in this world where people do not want to go into God's kingdom easily. Because before, now watch this, before death, humanity has too much control. Whatever vision God has laid on your heart, it's going to have to die. Because what God does through that death is he kills that part of you that's still trying to hold on to it. That if death didn't come, there wouldn't have been the ultimate letting go and the ultimate expansion that humanity held back. So the picture of the cross is that picture. I don't know what it was like for Mary. Imagine the grief that she had to fill in her heart, knowing she said the words, everything you've said about me come true. And there she is. She's watching the king, the one who's going to take David's throne, the one who is going to reign forever, the one who she probably thought was going to take the throne away from the Romans, being killed. Deep, utter grief. And whatever God's laid on your heart, when it dies, there's grief involved. Because God's got to get humanity out of the way. Now, the other nice thing is that we know that from the cross to the resurrection wasn't very long, and that means your grief isn't going to be very long either. Because number seven is simply the resurrection and the real wow. Certainly, Mary had the wow when she went, I'm pregnant and I haven't been with anybody yet. The world had no idea. The world didn't step back and go, oh my God. Now, for the basic Christian faith, if you're a Christian, and this would separate a Christian and a heretic, you believe that Mary had a virgin birth, that she was with no man, that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We believe that because of the resurrection, or the ultimate wow. Because the ultimate wow, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, what did the world say? Oh my God, that's never happened before. They recognized something bigger and more powerful, something greater and beyond themselves than they ever imagined. And we look back and go, but I recognize that that wow is true, which makes that wow true. As the worship team is coming, I want you to stick with me here. Because what's happened is now in the kingdom, the fruit that God has done through you and I, from conception, moving through to that obscurity, that spiritual warfare and the difficulty and the nurture and ultimately the death, now in the kingdom of God, there has been fruit that is produced that no man can hold back. All of humanity cannot keep the wow from happening more and more and more. Because once Jesus Christ overcame death in the grave, there wasn't one bit of humanity that could do anything to him to keep him from marching forward. The same thing is true with what God has said to you. The same thing is true for you and I. If we'll allow the cycle to move through, We'll get to this moment, whenever it is. For Mary, at least in a big part of it, it was 33 plus years. Let that sink in. It's 33 plus years from the envisioning of the promise where it was conceived to the wow moment, 33 years. And along the way, what kind of doubts and uncertainties and challenges did she have? The same kind of doubts, challenges, and uncertainties that we have. But the kingdom says, go through the process, because on the other side of death is always life. For the follower of Jesus, on the other side of death is always life. So where are you at in the cycle? That's kind of the key question. That's where I want you to meditate on this week. I, by the way, probably could have made this 7 messages. But I really think that Paul talks about the mature. You get the meat and you start chewing. This is the kind of message that you begin to chew on. You go home and you say, okay, Lord, where am I at in this cycle? Do you need the Lord to conceive something in you? You better start pursuing him. You need to press close to him and allow you to be close enough where he can deposit a promise, a vision that is supernatural, something that will grow, and then start walking through. I believe there are Christians in this room that you need to repent before the Lord because you came to that obscurity or you came to that difficulty and you aborted it. Because somewhere along the line, you got this theology that, well, if I'm a follower of Jesus, everything's going to go smooth and okay. How's that working for you? And, you know, really, it doesn't work that way. So, Lord, resurrect the vision, resurrect the promise, resurrect the dream that you gave me so long ago. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you are a God that involves us and desires to move through us that the world might say, wow. The world might step back and through our life would unconsciously declare there is a God. And then for those that would come into your kingdom, they would confess it and choose to follow. Pray, Lord, for the person that struggles with their worthiness. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would challenge them to pursue you, to go after you every day. If for nothing else, just to say, Jesus, I'm looking for you. I want an experience with you. Lord, forgive us for the times that you have birthed dreams and visions. And Lord, when it didn't come a reality after 6 months or a year or even 5 years, Lord, we aborted it by losing faith and walking in a different direction. I pray, Lord, this morning that there are hearts in this room that are asking you to forgive them. And then, Lord, I say prophetically, you are resurrecting that aborted dream, that you are resurrecting that aborted vision. And that, Lord, there is going to be some commitments this morning and a willingness to walk through and to nurture and to allow them to come to fruition and even to the point of allowing it to be put on the cross so that the fruit of that vision, the fruit of that dream might ultimately go far beyond anything that humanity could ever take or hold it back. So we just give you thanks for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray.